as we say in Hawaiian. I don't know why I said that, but I said it in the bathroom. I was like, let's say that because we're in Hawaii, and let's keep it a part of the culture. Praise the Lord for another opportunity to be able to open the Word of God with you guys. And the Bible says where two or three gather in His name, He is there in the midst. And so we rejoice that He is here with us. How about we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, ask Him for His anointing on our minds and our consciences, that we would be alert and awake and attentive to hear the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for these dear people who are here. And thank You for Your Word in which we gather around today. And we pray You would teach us something from Your Word. I pray You'd remind us of something, Lord. And may You stir up our hearts to live in this world for the next one, Lord. And I thank You for all that You do. Anoint this time. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, whoa, I'm loud. Excuse me. If you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 is where we're going to start today. And as we've been going through what makes a difference, I thought about this. The Lord put it on my heart. I was going to do something else. I was going to teach on how the truth makes a difference this week, but the Lord has showed me that over the summer, I've kind of touched on that a lot already with the Word of God, the first week being our foundation, how the Word is the truth, and then I think it was last week or the week before that about how the Word of God makes a difference. And the Lord put this on my heart: your perspective makes a difference. Your perspective makes a difference. See, our perspective is like the lens in which we see this world. It's like, you know, Thomas got glasses on. Can you see without those? Not too good. If you don't, if you use glasses, you can't really see without them on. You know, and the same thing is with us. If we don't have the right glasses on, we're not going to see this world correctly, if that makes sense. We're not going to see it through the light of Scripture, if you would say it that way. You see, C.S. Lewis said this. He says, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who made the most, or who did the most for this present world, were precisely those who were focused on the next. Precisely those who thought most of the next. And I ask you this question: where is your perspective today? Where is your focus, I guess you could say? And see, the definition for perspective in the sense that we're talking about today is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. In other words, it's a point of view. Where are you viewing this life from, I guess you could say? Another definition is a true understanding of the relative importance of things. And I think that one defines it better for us in this context: the true understanding of the relative importance of things in a sense of proportion. You know, we place value on things and people and time. You know, quality time, like a date for a husband and wife, it's very important, or it should be at least. But what is the most important thing, I guess you could say, in our life today? I really love that definition. I'll say it again: a true understanding of the relative importance of things. And when you think of what's important in your life, it kind of puts things into perspective. And where our focus is and where our heart is. Because the Bible says where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So I ask you again, what kind of perspective do you have today? What kind of lens are you seeing the world with? You know, I think about it, who likes to go snorkeling? Yeah, kind of, brother. Yeah, I went. I think it was like the first week I was back with the Kimball boys, and we went down somewhere by Secrets on the North Shore, or by Kilauea, I think it was. But long story short is, I was excited to get into the water because I haven't been in the water for like 2 years, and taking advantage of the beautiful island we live on and the ocean that we can swim in without a wetsuit on, and we can see more than 20 feet in the water. You know, I went to, in LA, the water is like green and brown, and you don't even want to look underneath. You don't know what you'll find. But it's cool how we can use goggles to see underwater, right? Because if we don't have goggles on when we go snorkeling, we're just going to see nothing. You're going to see shapes and maybe colors, and you come out of the water and your eyes are going to be bloodshot because the salt's in your eyes. But if you have on the goggles, you can see a whole nother world. And the same thing with us is, do we have those eternal goggles on, if you put it that way? Or are we just seeing things in a blurry sense? Are we seeing things just the shapes and the colors, an abstract picture of what's really there? Or are we seeing things through the light of Scripture, and like we would put on those goggles when we go snorkeling, seeing a whole nother world? You see, there are things that we deem important that God could care less about. There are things that we have no importance and there is no priority in our life, yet that is God's priority. So what kind of goggles do you have on today? Or do you even have on goggles? I want to look at simply three truths that can call us, or that call us to set our eyes on the world to come and not be so consumed with the one that we're presently in. Three truths that help us set our eyes on this world to come and not be so consumed with the present one we're in. I want you to notice the priority of a right perspective. The priority of a right perspective. And that's where we'll start, in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. You guys there, say amen? Okay. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above." Notice it says, seek those things which are above. And I love this verse. It's Matthew 6:33. It's actually one of my life verses. It says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God in His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you think about it, it says, seek ye first. You know, and in the midst of in the context of Matthew chapter 6, it's talking about the things that we as humans struggle with. The things that we, well, not struggle with, but deal with on a daily basis. Think about food and finances and all the little things that we can get so caught up in and that we can be so consumed with. But in the context, Jesus says in verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." I want you to notice that the priority of a right perspective is where our focus is. You see, in that verse, Colossians chapter 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ," and if you read the verses before in chapter 2, it talks about how we were born again. And when we're born again, we in Romans 6, if you're familiar with it, it says that we have been put to death, that old man has died with Christ, and we have been placed with Him by baptism into death, and we've been buried. We buried that old man, and then it talks about how we've been risen alive, and that's what it means to be born again, that you hath He quickened, as Ephesians says, who are dead in trespasses and sins, who once walked according to the course of this world, but He quickened us. He gave us life. We are born again. And if you're born again in here today, this verse applies to you. And it says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ," if you are born again, and if you have new life that is found in Christ, what are those, that next statement? It says, "Seek those things which are where?" In Colossians chapter 1, seek those things, or Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, excuse me. It says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth. And I gave this illustration the Sunday night I preached about how I was on the ball field and I was walking, and I figured I would try to close my eyes and try to make it all the way across on the line, on the 50-yard line. And by the time when I opened up my eyes, I was way off. Why? Because my eyes weren't open. Why? Because I wasn't focused and fixed on that line that I was trying to stay on. And so often we can get off track. And so often we can get off the line And when we actually open up our eyes, we're like, how did I get here? How did I end up in this point of my life, or my marriage, or my relationship with God? How come? Well, we got off track. We got our eyes off Jesus. And if you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Where is our focus to be? If the Bible says, seek those things which are above, where does it need to be? Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read in verse 1 for context. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice verse 2. It says, looking unto who? Unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My question for you today is, where is your focus? What are you looking unto? Are you looking unto the next race? Are you looking unto another person? Are you looking unto, you fill in the blank. You know yourself, I don't. God knows your heart, I don't. But where is your focus today? And if it's not on Him, then we don't have the right perspective. You see, we need to have a priority in our focus, but notice, if you go back to Colossians chapter 3, we also need that right priority in our perspective, in our feelings, or our emotions. Colossians 3 and verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, the word affection right there means your heart. Set your heart, if you put it that way, on the things which are above, not on the things of the earth. You know, I was talking to my dad this week, and I was just like, with everything in life, you get so caught up in it. You know, there's so many demands of life here on this earth that we can get so focused on it. And I find myself having to open up my eyes and making sure I'm still on that line, that I'm still on track, because it's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to focus here on this, and it's not important in the light of eternity. Or so important are these things, which aren't really significant and will not last in the light of eternity. But it says, set your heart, set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth. Because you think about it, like the quote says, forget who said it, but only one life that soon will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. You know, you think about it, I always like to give the illustration of Steve Jobs, because he was a very successful businessman, and you know, he's famous with all his Apple products. You know, we got some Apple fans in here. Our pastors are Apple fanatics. Yeah? Amen? And they converted me as well. I remember the first time I started helping Brother Richard with counting the offering, and we were complaining about how Macs are so terrible, and then 2 years later I come back and I'm like, hey, I got a MacBook. And I have an iPhone now and an iPad, and they're all, so they converted me. But anyway, Steve Jobs, he built an empire. He built an iconic company, I guess you could say, with very loyal customers. Right, Anwar? Very loyal. But he's dead now. And I ask you, all that he did, does it matter right now where he's at? I don't know if he was saved. I doubt he was. I think he was an atheist. But you can spend your whole life building for this world and investing in this world, but it won't last. It's all temporary. And as 1 Timothy says, that we brought nothing into this world, and surely we can take nothing out. And it says, let us with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And I say that because it's so easy to set our affections on things on the earth. It's so easy to store our treasures in our bank account or in our whatever you call them, your IRA or all that. Richard would know. Which are not bad. The Bible says it's good to lay up an inheritance for your children's children. And there's a place for that. But what about sowing into the kingdom? What about investing in souls and lives and in teens, in your children, in your family, in your friends, in your workplace? The priority of a right perspective is so vital that we have. We need to understand that it's to seek Him first, to seek His kingdom first, to set our affections on the things which are above and not on the things of the earth, both in our focus and in our feelings. Think about this. What gets you excited? Are you more excited about a new home here on earth or the mansion that's already built for you in heaven? Are you more excited to talk about sports than you are to talk about heaven? What are your conversations filled with? Because most times it reveals our focus. And we need the priority of a right perspective. That we would seek those things which are above, that we would seek Him first in His kingdom. As the Bible promises, that all these things shall be added unto us. And if we put Him first and we have Him as our focus, the Lord Jesus, He promises that all these things shall be added unto us. But notice, not only are we to have priority of a right perspective, but I want to show you guys the prayer of having a right perspective. You see, it's so easy to say it, but it's hard to really see it. I guess you could say it that way if I were to alliterate it. It's easy to say it, but it's hard to see it. It's easy to say, yeah, be focused on eternity. You know, seek those things which are above. But it's hard to see it because we can't. But the Bible calls us to what? Walk by sight? Calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. And if you have your Bibles, I like you guys to turn because I don't want to share with you my thoughts. But Psalms 39 and verse number 4, I think I shared it before, but I really enjoy this verse. It's really convicting, and it's a prayer of David. And I think I shared it in when I preached that Sunday night. And I'll turn there too. But Psalm 39, verse 4. David's prayer is this, because I believe he saw that as well. It's easy to say it. God commands it, but oftentimes it's hard to see it. Why? Because we can't. Psalm 39 and verse number 4. David says this, make me to know my, what is that word? My end. And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how strong I am, that I may know how long I'll live so that I can do all that I can for this world. No, that I may know how frail I am. Now let's look at the next verse. It says, behold, thou hast made my days as in handbreadth. That's this like a shaka, this long. Our lives are like this. Like I said before, on a tombstone, right, there are usually three things. There's your name, and there's your birth date, and there's your death date, right? And what's in the middle of those two dates? A dash. And that's your life. And this is David's prayer. A prayer for the right perspective, a prayer that we are as dust, as the Bible says, that we're here one moment and we're gone the next. What are we doing for this world now? Or what are we doing in this world now for the next? Because I'll finish reading. It says, behold, thou hast made my days as in handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. And that word Selah means to meditate. It means to ponder. And try to ponder that. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. Because how many of us think about dying, to be honest? It's like, man, it's coming soon, you know? We're so caught up in life that we never think about it, and it just hits us like a brick wall. You know, in 2007, my oldest brother passed away, and it hit us like a brick wall. We didn't see it coming, you know? But may this be our prayer. May God make us to know our end, that we would be focused. I think about this before I left. I was praying. It was like halfway through this past semester in the spring. And I was like, the summer was coming and I had no plans at all. And I didn't want to stay in Lancaster one bit that summer. You talk about how it was busy, right? It's like Uncle Harold's like, man, the conference was really, really busy. They had us going here and there. And I'm just like, that's me for the whole year of school. And it's like, I enjoy sleeping in now and not having, you know, such a hectic schedule. But I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to do for this summer. And so I just fervently and earnestly started praying that God would open up doors. And Pastor texted me, and he texted me about this opportunity about, you know, teaching Sunday school and all the things, being able to help out here at the church. And I took it into consideration. I was like, man, that would be awesome. I haven't been back to Kauai for 2 years. I would love to be back, see my church family and serve with them and love on them. And my other opportunity was to stay there and to work in the desert in Lancaster. And so I was really praying to come here because I really wanted to. And God opened the door and he answered prayer. And he provided all the way, and he still is, and I praise him for that. But when I found out that it was for sure, after they had the meeting and said, yeah, we'll be able to take you on as an intern, you know, my perspective changed. And I thought about my workplace, and I thought about, oh man, I may not work with these guys ever again. I really ought to try to witness to them. You know, I really ought to try to make a difference and be purposeful in my conversations to try to interject things of the Lord, because I am not going to be here for a long time, because I'm not going to be here for more than 2 more months. But I bet you if I didn't know that I was leaving, I would have just went to work, clocked in, clocked out. Yeah, if they bring it up, I'll talk about the Lord. But so often we can get caught up. But the point I'm trying to make is that when I understood my end there at that job, that it made me purposeful in my conversations for the Lord. Because I didn't know if I would ever get to talk to them again. I didn't know if they were going to die this summer. But may we ask God for a prayer of, as I would call it, brevity. That we would understand the brevity of life, and we would understand how frail we are, and we would understand that we have an end. And we would ask the Lord to make us to know our end and the measure of our days, what it is that we would know how frail that we are. That we're not strong, that we're not mighty, that we're not everlasting here on this earth. Yeah, we have everlasting life if we're saved, praise the Lord. But this world is not our home, as the song goes. We're just a passing through. And I love how 1 Peter, in the beginning of that introduction, it talks about, he says strangers. And you study out that word stranger, it means pilgrim. And you think about a pilgrim as a temporary resident. It's a foreigner. It's someone that's just passing through. They're not settled there. And so often we get settled here, and we forget that we're pilgrims. So may we understand the prayer of a right perspective, not only for brevity, but I want you to notice this, a prayer for boldness. If you have your Bible, let's go to Acts chapter 4 really quick. Let's see how we are in time. Acts chapter 4. We ought to have a prayer for boldness. And I think I mentioned this last week about the Holy Spirit, how he gives us boldness. But I want you to see the prayer that went with that. And this is amidst of all the persecution that's going on after Peter and John are arrested, and They stand before the council and they say, hey, we're going to, next time you say it, we're going to lock you up and this and that. And in verse 24, it says this. I'll start in verse 3, or verse 23. It says, and being let go, they went on their own company and reported to all the chief priests and elders, or what all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth, this is their prayer, and the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against Christ or the Lord and his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold thy threatenings, and grant thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And I was getting to verse 29, but that was their prayer. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant thy servants boldness. Or grant thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. We ought to have a prayer for the right perspective and boldness. Understanding that they hated Christ. And if we stand up and proclaim his word, they're most times not always going to like us. You know, I think about going out soul winning. Sometimes it's good, like, praise the Lord, get to lead someone to the Lord. But sometimes you end up like Pastor. This past week, out soul winning, almost getting killed by a big black pit bull. I told him, I was like, man, Satan doesn't want you out soul winning, Pastor. He's like, I don't want to be out soul winning with dogs like that. But, and not to say that was particular persecution, but we ought to have the prayer for boldness. That God would give us that. That we would, as verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, this world is not our home, we're just passing through, but we have a message to give while we're passing through. We have a message to share to those along the way that we could say, hey, come with me. I'm going to a kingdom which this world has never seen. And there's a mansion that God offers you, but you only got to follow him. You only got to receive him. And we have that message, but so often I find in my life that I'm fearful and I'm afraid and I'm ashamed even sometimes. It's like, man, they're going to think I'm weird. Well, pilgrims are weird. They're strangers. They don't fit in. So don't try to fit in, but pray and ask God for boldness, because we ought to be different in this world. We ought not to fit in with the crowd and say, hey, man, just like everybody else, hey, you're a Christian. I would have never guessed if you never told me. You know, maybe be different in a good way and not a weird way, you know, and not like, you understand, just not a weird way, but be different in a holy way, I guess you could say. Different in a righteous way, in a way that has integrity, in a way that speaks volumes, that, you know, if somebody drops their wallet, you don't take the money out and give it back and say, hey, I found your wallet, it was empty, but I returned it. You know, may we be those that go above and beyond. Like Pastor, when he preached on Father's Day, how that one man, how, you know, he took two newspapers or something like that, and his son saw him. And he thought, I'll just pay for two the next time I'm there. But because his son was watching, he said, you know what, I got to take it back. I got to show him. And may we be different in such a way that would glorify God. And may we be bold about it. May we be humble about it, but may we be bold. You know, be bold in the sense that we can be confident and assured that the gospel is the truth. And the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So notice the priority of the right perspective and a prayer for the right perspective. But I want to see the last thing. When God answers a prayer, the product of the right perspective. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse. We'll just go through it a little. But notice the consolation during a conflict. Consolation during a conflict. I'm reading this book. I think Uncle Harold just bought it. It's called Live Lighter, Love Better. And in the midst of being in college and being in such a crazy schedule, it's so often to live with such a hectic schedule. And even here in Hawaii, we can find ourselves living under such a hectic schedule and never having any time to breathe, any quiet time to just, man, I got free time. I'm not going to spend it in front of a screen. Maybe I'll go down to the beach. Maybe I'll meditate on God. Maybe I'll spend some quiet time just pondering my life and pondering my God and how great He is and the many blessings that He has shared with me or has given to me and many moments that I share with Him. Because so often we can get so caught up, but in the book, I just finished a chapter and it was talking about for every life there's a season. And so often we as humans, the author says, it's funny how our human nature always leads us to complain. And it goes to say, it's like, we say how good the past was, the good old days, right? And then we also say, oh man, how good the future is gonna be. You know, I think about it, just dating my girlfriend, it's like, I can do that and I find myself guilty. It's like, man, I just wish I was married. You know, it's going to be so good. And then people are married. It's like, I remember when I was single. Brother Mike, don't just enjoy it. But isn't that true? We can always find something to complain with. And in the book, it was really good because I thought about it. And we can always look back to the past and say how good it was. Or look to the future and say, man, it's going to be so good. But then what we're saying about the present right now and the season that God has us in to be is it stinks. And it goes on to share that in the midst of seasons, there are a few truths. And one of them is in every season of life, we're going to have burdens. And he gives the illustration like the seasons of earth. And he was, is Pastor Schmidt, and he was a pastor. He went to New England, and he talked about how, you know, in winter it was beautiful. There was snow, but there was snow. And so, you know, in the midst of everything, in the midst of fall, there was beautiful autumn leaves, he would say, but there are leaves and more leaves, and you got to rake the leaves, and we find something to complain about. But in the midst of it, there's always going to be a conflict, you could say. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And look at Paul. Verse number 7. It says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And look with me in verse number 15. It says, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause," look at this, "for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Verse 17, it says this, "For our light affliction is but for a moment, and worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." It says that you can have consolation during conflict in your life. When the tribulations of life come and you think about our tribulations, our persecutions, we could call them, are nothing. Paul says, always bearing about the marks or the dying of the Lord Jesus in his body. And you think about that, he was beaten for Christ. He has marks that he can prove to you. When was the last time you were beaten for Christ? I never been. And he called it his light affliction. But notice, if we have the right perspective, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, right? Like that dash in our life, it's but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it's like Pastor's message last week, get up and keep going. Because there is consolation in the conflict. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Because look at what verse 18 it says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, God gives us consolation during the conflicts, the tribulations, and trials of life. And that is a product of having the right perspective. But notice this, the context. God also gives us the context for our circumstances. Romans 8:28 says this, for all things, and we know. That's a cool first statement, I just thought. And we know. Do you know? Do you know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose? For the next verse talks about it, for the reason for all things that happen and how God works all things together. For them he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That in the context of our circumstances, whatever you're going through today, God is working it together for good to make you more like his Son, the Lord Jesus. But it only when we have the right perspective. And I'll end with this. Galatians chapter number 6, if you turn there if you want, verse number 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And it says in verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep on keeping on. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Don't give up. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Remember that whatever you're going through, God allowed it or he ordained it. And it's for a reason. And it's to make you more like his Son. As we close, I challenge you to live in such a way that the things of this world will loosely hold. To live light, I guess you could say, that we would love better. But it starts by seeking first his kingdom. Are you doing that today? When you wake up in the morning, what's your first thought? Is it, thank you, Lord, for this day? Seek his kingdom first. Notice we ought to make supplications to see with his eyes, that we would have that right perspective. Because it's easy to say, but it's hard to see, right? But let us ask him to see as he sees. And notice lastly, to sow into eternity, to keep on reaping, or to keep on sowing, that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep sowing. Remember that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And as C.S. Lewis says, Christians who do the most in this present world were those who were focused on the next. Let's do a work for God in this world, but we can only do it by being focused on the next, being focused on the one which is to come, seeking that which is not seen, for the things which are not seen are eternal, but the things which are seen are only temporal. Let's ask God to help us to seek him first, to pray and ask him that we would have those eyes to see and those ears to hear, that we would continue to sow into eternity, that we would have treasures in heaven that don't rust, that where thieves can't break in nor steal, as the Bible says. For our treasure is there, our heart be also. Where is your treasure today? Is it on this earth or is it in heaven? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for perspective. We thank you for eyes that we could see physically, Lord. We praise you for that. We wouldn't be able to drive or do a whole bunch of stuff. But Lord, what my prayer is now is that you would give us eyes, that spiritual eyes of understanding, as your word says. That we would see as you see, Lord. And that we would have our eyes focused on eternity. And that we would see things in the light of eternity. And the importance of things that you deem important. And the irrelevance of things that we may often deem important. Give us a perspective that we would see as you see, Lord. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Bless the service to come and the fellowship as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be dismissed.